If we have the logistics capability to move goods and services through our ports and through our trucking and through all of that, or through our retail, Amazon, why do we not have the logistics to tell our teachers who needs help, who needs to move on, who needs what?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Why Distance Learning, the podcast for educators who are engaged with live virtual learning experiences, whether they be content providers who produce and facilitate or educators who want to complement their curriculum and learn more about the medium. We interview content providers, industry professionals, field experts, and educators who love and use live virtual learning. And today, we have a very special guest, Mary Schlegelmilch, which I just learned means whipped cream in German. And that's the happiest news I've gotten all day. Welcome, Mary. Thank you for being here.
Mary.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, you know, Schlegel is a beater. So you beat milk and you get whipped cream. So I love the name. It's cool. And I married it. Do you believe it?
Yes, this is like a choice kind of for you. Yeah. My last name is Fleischhauer, which means meat hacker in German. So it's a kindred spirit. Thank you so much for being here. I'm here with Allison and Tammy, my co-hosts. Welcome, ladies. Thank you for being here as well.
Hi.
And Tammy, do you think that you could please introduce Mary?
Well, thank you, Seth. I'd be happy to introduce you all to Mary and who she is. She has an amazing bio, and I'm not going to try to introduce her last name again because I'll butcher it. But here we go. Mary joined Cisco Education Team in 2011. With her extensive knowledge and distance blended in online learning, Mary is dedicated to education and implementing technology in today's education environments. Hybrid teaching and learning and enabling the student experience is a main focus as we reimagine education, campuses, and learning models. Mary has worked in both rural and urban schools and is an early childhood educator, an elementary teacher, and a middle school science teacher. She has been an elementary principal, district administrator, and a post-secondary instructor. She has served as president of the Nebraska Distance and Distance Learning Association and other board positions for the past 17 years. She's had numerous publications, including Digital Media and Teaching and Its Added Value in the Digital Revolution and Higher Education, How the Internet of Everything is Changing Everything. She has a blog and so much more, but we are so excited for Mary to be on our podcast today.
And I guess my first question is there a role in education you haven't had?
Yeah. That makes me sound so ADHD or something, right? But then I got to say, I have been an educator for 34 years now. Wow. Yeah. And I love new things. I love experiencing new parts of education. And it's not that I get bored. It's just that I guess I have leaders that have always tagged me with a skill set to say, hey, can you help us with this? Can you help with this? And you know, I was looking the other day and thinking, oh, you know, there's a job that I'm kind of interested in. But I think that of all those jobs, I probably only applied for like two or three of them. Because I always got tagged, you know, and so, but it makes me sound so ADHD.
No, it's great to have mentors. That's the true meaning of mentors, and really leaders that are able just to call on the right people, for the right job.
Yeah. And I've had great leaders. I have had phenomenal leaders ahead of me that have pulled me up into, you know, new jobs or whatever. And so, yes, I will give credit to all of them. And if they hear this, they know who they are because I do try and stay connected. Yeah.
I'm curious, can you give credit to yourself a little bit and break down like why have you been tagged for all these different positions? Is it a different thing for each one or is there a common thread?
Yeah, well, and I think that part of it is I really, you know, I come from South Dakota. I now live in Nebraska, but I come from South Dakota. And I had this sense of myself going through my degrees of I need to know as much as I can about all subject areas and all grade levels, because in small school districts, you really need expertise to round out leadership within a school district that's smaller or more rural. And so I really wanted to make sure that I had expertise in all of those areas. So, you know, when you make sure that you are certified in all content areas and you have not only early childhood, but middle level endorsements, and then going into the high school area, I really wanted to round out my professional abilities. And so I think that's where it came from. And I always had this forethought of district-wide professional development of faculty, but also leadership of curriculum and learning, and what are good teaching and learning environments, and how do we provide the best opportunities for students no matter where we live. And I think that's my biggest mantra, is beyond geographic boundaries, we can provide good learning environments for all students. And so that just led me into the path of thinking differently about education and using technology. And I will say, I started using technology in what we used to call distance learning. Now many of us call online, and then blended, and then hybrid. And that's really where I believe that hybrid learning is so important. And then using the learning management system for a flipped model when you need to get additional resources and lecture to students. But I really think the synchronous video has such power in which we can truly, you know, cross geographic boundaries. And that's my passion.
Yeah. And you talked about creating these positive learning environments, regardless of geographic location. How would you describe a positive learning environment? What are the components?
Well, I think it's interactive. I think it's one in which the relationship between students, teachers, and students and students are engaging. They're active. They're asking questions. They're inquisitive. And again, you saw in my background, I have science in my background. So inquiry learning is so important. And then as an early childhood teacher, we really believed in inquiry learning, right? So those things I just think are a natural piece to when we start thinking about what should this learning environment look like to be active. And inquiry is a huge component of that. I am not a teacher that does a lot of sit and get. You know, so when I was always teaching, I was active, moving about the room. And if I'm using video, then that video system needs to keep up with me and keep up with my class. And we're at a stage in which technology, and I will say that Tammy did say that I'm at Cisco, technology has kept up. Right. We are now able to basically have those cameras just follow us as if a movie production is happening in what we call cinematics. And so it can automatically move about the room and get the teacher and the students all with great angles, so that now students remote or students in person can have a great experience. And it's really about teaching experiences and the student experiences, the learning experience.
That is so wonderful. I was just thinking about the idea of active in the conversation and inquiry. Like you said, it's just the most powerful tool. And I always find it so exciting when a student asks a question and all of a sudden you can say, you know what, I don't know enough about that. Or that's a really great starting research question. Or, you know, just have them know it's okay. You don't always get the answer. A lot of it is the journey to finding that answer. And the idea of the cameras, it kind of makes me laugh a little bit, because I think about times where when I was teaching some of that early voice technology, the students didn't realize, like, literally it can pick up a whisper. So it's not trying to sell you out, but it's going to come to you. So it's fun to see how that's worked out.
Yeah, I think you're right. When the, you know, technology has come so far, it used to pick up the whisper or like, yeah. I got a great story for you. I had a nuclear science and energy professor from the local university decide to leave teaching at the university and go come down to the high schools and teach physics and nuclear science.
That's awesome.
Well, in rural Nebraska, you do not have the opportunity for nuclear science and energy. And so we offered that as a hybrid course in which students from rural schools could take that. And this, I'm going to call him professor because he still is, you know, right? Even though he's located at a high school, he was at first like, I don't know about this technology, but we'll give it a try. And then he's like, can you just leave that cart? And this is back in the day when we had carts. Can you just leave that cart in my room permanently? And I said, well, why? And he's like, you know what? The kids self-police themselves. The zipping of zippers is loud enough that the system picks it up, and the kids on the far end can't hear. So then they start policing the kids. Hey, stop that. And he's like, now they don't start packing up 5 minutes ahead of dismissal time. They wait.
Right. Exactly. Like,
but now we have noise cancellation happening. Right. Mm. And so, you know, I have a video system that I'm coming in across on, and I have the ability to where I can put noise cancellation or optimize only my voice. So if there's things happening in the household, you won't hear it. So again, those are some of the things that technology is continuing to evolve. And when we truly think about artificial intelligence inside of video devices that makes things happen, that's the beauty of now, the ease of teaching, how I can walk into my classroom at a university and it automatically knows based on the frequencies to the calendar of my device, what the class is and what the link is, and hook it up and connect. That's, to me, awesome.
I'm just thinking about the thousands of emails I've sent over my life. It's like, this is the link, and I promise, and here's my follow-up, and I just want to make sure at the test call, you also remember this is the link. It's just like, and then all of a sudden, it's like, I can't find the link. And you're like, ah. And I sometimes couldn't find the link, depending on the day, right? That's so powerful, because I'm thinking about how experts, when they come down to high school level, experts that are teaching on college level, when they realize high school is where you can really inspire some learning as well, I just always get really happy and excited to hear about those types of individuals. And I wonder, do you have any other golden, like really big golden moments where you were like, yes, this is it. Distance learning. I see it.
Yeah, I do. So a big one, and this is a shout out to my friends at the Baseball Hall of Fame. I was the director for Omaha Public Schools, in which I was helping all of our schools get connected using the video conferencing equipment. And so I asked the statistics teacher at the high school, would you like to do a virtual field trip? And he was like, and so I brought the cart in, and then I set it up when we went to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and we did AP statistics class going there and talking about baseball and statistics. And those kids were so engaged. But the moment for me, and when I said, okay, this is it, is I was in the middle of a graduate level statistics class. And I will tell you, I'm one of those learners that sometimes I can just jump through the hoop and learn just enough to pass the class and get the degree, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think many of us from my age have learned how to be that kind of learner, right? Is sometimes you just jump through a hoop. And I was in that class and I got engaged. I leaned in and I'm like, oh, that makes sense now. I then started looking at statistics in a much different light. And I think how fortunate for every one of those students in that class to now go on into college and go on into understanding statistics better, you know, and it's through that lens of baseball and the great educators. I can't say enough for content providers that do video conferencing, virtual field trips into schools and into senior environments, their professionalism as educators and how they not only write their curriculum, but present their curriculum in which it's engaging and you get it. I mean, I did. I got it. That was my biggest golden moment in a virtual field trip.
That's so wonderful. Shout out to Bruce. So wonderful. I mean, it really is. It's because it's that active, right? The synchronous allows for that active engagement. And I sometimes think that people forget that, whether it's through the chat, the microphones on or off, that engagement's always possible if you're working with someone that's really trying to produce a lesson based on engagement and thoughtful, meaningful learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to take that golden moment, which happened in the classroom, and kind of zoom out to your current role at Cisco, where you are working on distance learning issues that affect everyone, right? So there's a saying in Chinese, huan le pigu, wan le nao dai, which means change your butt, change your head. In other words, when you have a different seat in a different position, you think differently about things. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how you think differently about distance learning now that you're working on it from 10,000 feet as opposed to on the ground?
Wow, that's a great question. And, you know, I think the biggest piece is I continue to stay with the lens of an educator, no matter my role. And that's, my Cisco brethren, my Cisco leadership many times will, I'll always introduce myself as an educator first and a Cisco employee second. But I think that's what gives me that lens into our customers to help relate. I tend to be more of an advisor role, and I'm looking for the openings of the business in which moving into the future. You know, where is the business or where is distance learning or the use of video conferencing in a classroom going to be in 3 years or 5 years from now? That's my goal, is to be on that front edge. And so I look at it from the goal of an educator as well, saying, not just take care of me now to make it easier, but what's coming forward. And so, for example, when we acquired Babel Labs a couple of years ago, right away, I knew that that was going to make a difference in the classroom, because that acquisition really helps us with that sound of good quality sound and also sound optimization. So if there's other noise happening a little bit ago, even in this podcast, the doorbell rang at my house. I know that you did not hear it, because that sound optimization I have set for just me, right? And so we have that ability. If I took a bag of chips or, you know, was opening a package or something, I could do all of that and you wouldn't hear it. That is really what we think differently about, is that experience for a student in which, you know, you don't have to be whisper quiet anymore. You don't have to think through some of those things in your classroom as much of like, oh, are we going to get too loud for the students at the far end? And then it's just going to be a mess of noise, you know? So I think that's the piece that I love most about being in this leadership role. And I can help our customers really understand the benefits when we say it is really about the teacher experience and the student experience now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Can you tell us more about the future? What is it going to be like in 3 to 5 years?
Oh, we have some really cool things going on. I mean, one that we've released, everybody knows about it, is Hologram WebEx, you know, so using VR.
Future is now.
Yes.
Yeah. You can use VR glasses with WebEx right now. You know, wow. It's pretty cool. But we also know, you know, we're very cognizant of research. How long should students have VR glasses on? Things like that. I mean, there's a reason my VR glass is here when the grandkids are here. I'm kind of watching who's on for what length of time, because the 8-year-old grandson, he would keep them on forever. And then, you know, we just have to be so self-aware of what, you know, is it biometrics we want to think about always, you know, things like that, the physiology, you know. So those are things that I say that we had physiology things to think about, is sitting in those hard desks and maybe the quality of air in a classroom that didn't have moving air because we had water boilers or, you know, whatever that may be. Those were different physical conditions that we're kind of like, especially just since the pandemic, we've decided, okay, every classroom needs moving air, you know, so we're adjusting those things, but now we have to think about what's the future and what are some of those physical things that we need to be thinking about as well. So again, when I say I believe in active spaces, active learning spaces, that goes back to my undergraduate work as an early childhood teacher and really believing moving students and getting up and moving about, but it's for all students. I mean, as adults, we're the same way, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my thinking.
Well, and it's so great to think about that, you know, as you know, tech is trendy, right? It's exciting and flashy, and we're talking about holograms and glasses and so many amazing things, but it is exciting to hear you think about, like, talk about the metrics, like what is going to actually be a tool that's lasting? What does that tool lasting look like for each age group? Because we could even take the mobile phone, the idea of, now there are kids. I asked one of my nieces to pretend that we were playing house, and I pretend that my hang loose is my phone, and she just put up a flat palm and pretended to dial a number as if she was on an iPhone or a mobile device or an Android. And I was just like, oh my goodness, what? This is, you know, just kind of those moments. And you think, wow, there isn't a time that my daughter, or especially my nieces, they have never not known a time with this type of device in their hands. And now we're finding out more and more research. So it is exciting to think about the 22nd century. Since we're in the 21st, it's nice to think about how do we pave the way for the 22nd.
And in terms of paving the way for the 22nd, you know, something that we struggle with here is that it feels like distance learning is still quite niche. Regardless of the fact that the entire world pivoted to distance learning, there were a lot of bad experiences had during that time, right? And you know, it's frustrating for those of us who've been working with the technology for a really long time to sit there and watch that happen and just be like, you guys, there's a better way.
It's not new. Yeah. There's things. There's a whole group of humans that helped build this.
Yeah. And I'd like to think that we got a lot of adopters then, but it still does feel like there are these very dedicated and motivated few who really believe in the technology, and then there's everybody else. And I'm wondering, why do you think distance learning isn't more popular, and how can we make it more popular?
I think it's because, and I love all of my teaching colleagues, right? But our colleges of education traditionally have not taught how to pedagogically use this technology in the classroom. Mm. And so this mindset of, you know, your anticipatory set and then go into your lecture, the introduction, and then go into some solid work time and then, you know, closing. Nowhere in there was technology as part of that, right? And so I think during the pandemic, they were just trying to figure out, what is the class in front of my classroom now? And how do I, can I just take up that same amount of time, but do it via video instead of thinking differently about, hey, have that class and then, you know, get going, let them do the work later on because they have other gates. I'm going to bring up something because I think it comes into this, and I'm very proud of some of the research and the work that we're doing at Cisco in what we call the Hybrid Logistics Project. We are the underwriter of this project, and what it is it talks about thinking of time and space differently as we use technologies. And as we've found out during the pandemic, some of our students needed a different time and space. And of course, some students need that structure of face-to-face instruction. But we now have this ability through hybrid work that parents now are wanting hybrid learning, so that they have some flexibility to do some things that families need and want to do, rather than staying in that paradigm of the industrial model of grade and age, and you march in that line. And they want to be able to have flexible time to, you know, I got to work over in Paris, so I'm going to take my kids and we're going to have some flexible time to go through the Louvre or whatever. I mean, so we're seeing a shift happening. And we're seeing it across this nation on choice as well. Which school districts are allowing us to have some choice into that time and space? So as we think about time and space, I think we could think differently about the curriculum as well. Do we have very highly engaged curriculum in which students can be active and almost be like playing a game to have their assessments built into the curriculum and have gates in that curriculum set up in the LMS to where now it says the student has reached this gate, this spot, and they're ready for some direct instruction. But also we have 8 in that classroom and 8 in another classroom. And maybe at the other school, we have another 4 that they've all met that gate and we can have direct instruction with them when it's applicable and related to where they're going and moves them forward. But it also knows which students haven't met that gate and which ones need redirected learning and need that additional help. Let's not fall way back before you get help. Let's like, oh, you've been stuck for 2 days. Let me get a teacher for you. The computer knows. AI is happening. And it knows and it can use those highly qualified teachers to move students at the pace they need to move. So now we no longer think about age and grade. We have multiple age, multiple grade all in one room working at different paces. But as they hit those gates, they get a meeting that says, hey, it's now time for you to go for math instruction on dividing polynomials with Mr. Thompson. And you don't worry about the rest of the kids that are in your classroom. You just know you have a pass. And you can just go to that classroom that's a hybrid classroom, or you have a link and you can put on earphones and go into a little, you know, space.
Virtual space, yeah.
Because we're reinventing classroom spaces
right, to
have some of those, you know, more private spaces. And you can go and get that lesson and then you can keep moving at the clip you want to move.
It just makes so much sense because it's experience points. And it's experience points, right? There are certain things I don't love to do, but for example, there was like a 10,000 step challenge that I had to enter with a group that I'm involved with. And it's like, I have to walk around 2 more times that my normal walk, but that's okay because I get this metal badge here that's just digital. And I feel like I've accomplished something and it kind of pushes you further and further. And I feel like with the students, there is a lot of gaming involved in how they interact with each other now in younger generations, that it just makes sense to think about how do you apply that gamification to the assessment.
And I think what you described there is brilliant. I really enjoy the fact that it solves one of the greatest challenges in education, which is differentiation, right? Like to be able to essentially decentralize the teacher into where the students are. I do wonder though about the value of the teacher-student relationship in that dynamic, where if you are decentralizing the teacher, you are breaking that bond, or at least the intensity of that bond that you might have with a single teacher. Do you think about that in the context of that model at all?
So you can, absolutely, but you may also want to think about the issue that we have where many times, I mean, you can have it to where the cohort is the same teacher always, the same math teacher for that roster of students. But you could also think about, you know, and as a building administrator, I remember this and how many parents came, I need my child to be in so-and-so's classroom. And you're like, they're all great teachers. And they're like, I want my child over there.
It's this one. Yeah.
You know, but I remember also I think all of you can remember. Do you remember that one teacher that you're just like, oh, I can't wait till this year's over. She's really mean, or, oh, they're just so impersonal, or, you know, they're biding time till retirement. I mean, I hate to say, but, you know, whatever it may be, but if I get a mix of teachers, then do I become a better learner because I am now being exposed and I'm not just honed in for what I don't want to say stuck, but I'm going to say stuck for a whole year with a teacher that maybe I just didn't have a relationship with.
So it's kind of democratizing the process a little bit. The highs are lower and the lows are higher, right? Like it just kind of creates a median experience.
Well, but also maybe there's a teacher that I really can hone in on. And if I need extra help and I see that they can come into our spaces and they have extra time, you know, their planning time could be in our same rooms or whatever. I give a shout out to my geometry teacher in high school, Dr. Bear.
Yes.
He came into study hall every day. And I just happened to be lucky to have that same study hall time period. But he would sit next to me and he just worked me through it. And you know what? If he wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have been as strong in math as I am now. And then continued. I mean, geometry was, you had to take it. You had to take Algebra 101. You had to take geometry. And then my parents even said, yeah, you're done. You're not a math kid. Well, I showed them.
Yes.
Because now I understood it. You know, mm-hmm. here is a teacher. It's kind of like that same thing when the light bulb went off,
yes.
when that statistics, you know, virtual field trip. Well, in geometry, the light bulb went off for me. And Dr. Baer took that time. But it wasn't during class, because mm-hmm. in class it was lecture and he was sitting up and, you know, I'm like, mm-hmm, sure.
Mm-hmm. Writing down the notes, but being like, let's go over this one more time. Like,
yeah. But when he came into study hall, And you know, the first couple of times I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to ask for help. I'm not going to be that kid that, you know, ooh. And he just walked around and he says, you need help. And I'm like, well, yeah, but don't sit here. Don't sit by me, you know, because I didn't want to be tagged. I didn't want the other kids to say, oh my gosh. But you know what? Once it started making sense to me and then people saw that I was really engaged, then you know what? He ended up in a middle desk and there was a group of us around him, you know, and I just remember that relationship. And I think that we all know those teachers that each individual student can connect with. And that's the prize, you know? And so I'm going to go back to the term hybrid logistics. If we have the logistics capability to move goods and services through our ports and through our trucking and through all of that, or through our retail, Amazon, why do we not have the logistics to tell our teachers who needs help, who needs to move on, who needs what?
It just makes so much sense because in some cases, the relationship with the teacher forms just individually. There could be a whole entire 25 students that love this teacher, but like you said, the energy just doesn't match. And I think that sometimes can be where it gets a little bit murky, like where things start to blend and you're expecting a teacher to fulfill a role when really they need to respond to the students. And it's hard for students to learn it's okay to be proactive in your education.
That's
asking
right.
the question or using your voice, that's something that you do when you feel safe and nurtured. And in some cases that could be, for me, it was, I had so many educators that I just love. And one of them was from a high school I left and I would go and see her on the weekends and we would work through things. So it does, but you know, she didn't have, not everybody loved her. And just, but she like helped me write my college essay and it was the best experience ever learning to write in a different way. And I think like you said, all of a sudden you're out of geometry, you're done with your algebra. Now you're moving up. You don't feel like you're stuck with that one teacher for the whole semester. I think just helps also students socially and emotionally grow because some may just be too advanced and some just need that extra help. So,
yeah.
I love it. I mean, this is, you know, this is a new model of education you're talking about.
I'm
wondering if you have thought about like, sorry, my math brain is going off right now, but like what is the critical mass necessary in order to like if you thought about numbers, right? Like how many students would you need participating in a program like this in order to make it so that like the economic model worked out, right?
Yeah, we're thinking about all of that because of the teacher shortage, right?
You know,
how can we, you know, could this be a homeroom of 50 kids? But yet you have these highly qualified teachers that can move in and out of that homeroom and have kids pulled out for, you know, specific learning lessons. This is changing the paradigm of the master schedule.
Day, blue week, blue week.
Yeah. So all of that. But again, I think it's time for us to reimagine education. If we learned anything from coming out of the last 3 years, is that technology truly can be used to help us to reimagine what models of learning should and could look like. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I go back to the one-room schoolhouse. Why did we get rid of that? Because we had enough children that we needed age grade. But maybe that one-room schoolhouse was all we, you know, was the precursor.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I love that analogy. That is such an interesting model to return to as a foundation, you know, as a foundation and looking forward.
But use the technology to expand the geographic boundaries and to expose, but also pull teachers because we do have a teacher shortage. And if we can pull teachers, and we're seeing this with parent pods, I don't know if they're popular in your area, but, you know, we have parents that are grouping together to create their school, and they're deciding on these types of who is that teacher that's going to come in either virtually or in person. You know, so we're seeing a change in education. And I can go through all kinds of research that we've been doing with our partner on this, but we're seeing a change, and parents are demanding change, but we're also seeing that schools are thinking differently on what students need.
Can you speak about that change on the part of schools, right? Like, what are schools seeing that is different that students need right now?
Students need experience, right? Experiential. I mean, let's go with some of the work that I've been doing a lot in innovation type areas. With your career tech ed, you know, we see school districts building out whole new career and tech ed innovation buildings, innovation labs. I mean, I think of my school in Colorado where they have a runway behind the building and they're teaching students aviation and they have flight simulators and everything, just like the pilots have that work at American Airlines or wherever, you know, whatever. So they have that, but they also have biopharmaceutical classes. They, you know, I just look at, I was just in one last week down in Texas where they have a whole section for firefighters, and the teachers that are teaching that are firefighters, you know, so it's really great. I mean, they have another one that's a graphics lab where they're teaching the students how to create the big banners and the car and the van wraps and all of that. But they also have a vet tech area. You know, so they students leave with certifications so that they are career ready. I'm going to give a shout out to the Cisco Networking Academies, because networking and security and data science, these are all important skills to move into the future that everybody needs. Everybody needs to know something about networking for your own home.
Yeah.
Everybody's got going to be in a home with a Nest or whatever their, you know, Arlo cameras or whatever. And they're going to need to understand the basics of networking, both cloud and on-prem. So I say that this is a time when we have to think differently in that realm, but also think of active learning. And, you know, everybody can Google and find the information. So now it's our time to teach them how to discern and find the information, not teach them the information.
Right.
When you and I went to school, they taught us the information. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to teach them where to find the information and how to discern. Is that the good information, the information you need?
Absolutely. Don't just regurgitate back what you see or find on whatever source, if you deem it credible or not. And career and technical education, that is such a space, especially for synchronous live video conferencing, I'm really excited to think about, because like you said before, content providers that produce the lesson, how do we support the career and technical educators, those that actually want to be able to share their industry, their field, talk about welding, talk about cosmetology, talk about culinary arts, be able, you know, as you said before, we have the tech to do it. How can we help support them take some of their conversations virtual and also connect them with those amazing schools, like you said, or a district that can say, in your community, this is in your backyard. Here's a live program to get you excited about it. And then maybe there's an internship. You have that starting point to prepare you digitally for that in-person experience.
Absolutely. Mm.
Oh, God, I feel like I could go for another hour and a half with you. we'll have you back for a part two at some point. The depth of knowledge and perspective, I really appreciate and am very grateful that you came on here today. Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you.
Very, very grateful. Thank you.
And Mary, we understand that you also have a podcast. Tell us a little bit about that. Where can we find it?
So I do podcasts for Cisco. So under the Cisco podcast area, right on our main website, there are podcasts that all of us, you know, experts within the field at Cisco will do a podcast and or a blog. So you'll see those there. And then I've also been partnered up with the Learning Council. And so with the Learning Council, there's a weekly podcast that go out. And so I'm a guest many times on their podcast. And in fact, I just recorded one earlier. So check those out if you want more information on the Hybrid Logistics Project.
And we'll definitely put that in the show notes. Allison, any last thoughts or questions?
Mary, I just love spending any amount of time with you. And I love learning from you. Every time I have a meeting and a conversation, I'm always like, I am going to leave and just think for like 2 weeks about these things that Mary has said and be like, Mary, how can we put it into place? So I'm just really grateful to learn and look forward to just continuing to learn from you.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that about you. And I always think the work that CILC does is so important to just sometimes spark the interest of a teacher of what else is out there, but also spark the interest of students. I mean, that's really what this is about, is experiential learning, sparking interest for anybody. And one thing that we did not even really talk about much, because I haven't gotten to do much of the work on that, but I'm helping you lead the work in adult and lifelong learning, you know, so that's a whole different topic. So I think we've kind of fleshed out a couple of further on topics that we could do, but I look forward to what we can think of as a society as adult and lifelong learning, that I can go on a field trip and I'm in my 80s and I don't have to get on a bus.
Mary, why distance learning?
Why distance learning? Well, I don't want to be cliche and say why not, but I will say—
We've had three of those.
Yeah. Why distance learning is because it truly, and I'm going to go back to what I've said, distance learning allows us to reach beyond the geographic boundaries where we are currently at physically, in which we can continue to learn. And I think that's the piece. I mean, distance learning has come so far in the last 30 years. I mean, I was a distance learning undergrad where they sent me the video cassette tapes. And then it went into, you know, hey, you have to have that special network to be in that special room, you know. And then as I became an administrator and I put them on carts and we went to IP addresses, I mean, we've just come so far in what is the use of synchronous video in education. And I say, why distance learning? I think distance learning is a avenue in which we think about hybrid of that synchronous component at a distance. But I also think about asynchronous, where the teacher chooses that content that I need to view at an asynchronous time outside of class time. So I really think distance learning allows that ability to be lifelong learners, to continue learning no matter where we're located. And no matter how old we are, we can connect and get to knowledge and to great quality educators. And I'll always hold my hat on great quality educators.
Love it.
Yes.
So glad I asked the question. So if you want to know the answer to the question, why distance learning, check out the people we highlight on this podcast. These are the people who are leveraging this amazing technology to truly transform the learning experience. Why distance learning? Why not? Because it's awesome. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Thanks, Mary. Bye, everybody.